It's Tuesday. You're listening to Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It's not Monday.
No, it not anymore.
It was a true Monday yesterday.
It was an eventful Monday. That's for sure.
Technology not working. But hey, we had the technology we needed to do what we are given to do here. So
yeah.
Thankful for that.
Yeah.
And Noel seems to be working today, so that's good. And
we're not Facebook Live today, so there's that.
That's true. We did get it to work eventually.
We did.
Yeah.
After I figured out how I was.
Minor bugs.
Part of that was user error, let's be honest.
Well, that's why I wasn't throwing you under the bus there.
I did. Hashtag real life.
Positive. Speaking of positive, some positive articles in the Lutheran Witness this month that I found very helpful. If you have not picked up the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, by all means, go pick it out of the mail bin that's probably sitting on your kitchen counter or on the desk at home. Pick it up and read it. Just take 5 minutes to read one article. We're going to talk about a couple of the articles in this August issue. Good stuff, life-changing. And I don't mean that flippantly. It really is good stuff that really can make a difference, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Concordia University, Wisconsin, CUW.edu is the place you can find out more about them. Live Uncommon. In studio with us today, the Rachel Bomberger. I always want to put a title in front of it. The editor, managing editor of Lutheran Witness, and feeling much better this week, it sounds like.
Thank you. Yes, I am not half dead in bed right now, which is wonderful.
It was a rough day last week.
It really was.
Or was it 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago. Oh, feels like yesterday, and I'm glad it's not.
But I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're well. The month of August is winding down, but we still have some time to talk about the August issue. September issue is coming out soon as well. That'll be hitting mailboxes soon as well.
It sure is. But we still have a bit of time for August, and I'm glad that we're able to talk about it, because this was an issue that really was, it taught me a lot working on it and challenged my thinking about money and possessions, two things that I don't actually like to talk about or even think about. It's sort of a strange taboo we have, mm-hmm. that we just don't discuss it.
We don't want to talk about possessions because, well,
we like our
them.
Probably
we
too
like
much.
Them.
We're afraid that if we get asked about it, we might have to think critically and maybe not have quite so many.
Yeah, well, yeah, we might have to admit that we have many possessions, which brings us to the article that you wrote for the August issue, Traveling Light. You had some research to do for this issue as well.
Yeah, but this was such a... This article was such a fun journey for me as a person. I mean, I've thought about having moved around a lot in my life, including last year when I moved down to St. Louis. When you move... you have a unique opportunity to contemplate how many possessions you have and to get rid of some of them
and to physically see them all,
but never enough. And I don't know, you can get rid of as much as you want. I'm pretty sure that the stuff breeds in the dark, because you wake up one morning and the walls are closing in on you again. And this is just, but it's not this way all around the world, but it is very, very true in our country, that even people who struggle to pay their bills, who struggle to feel secure in their life, may be drowning in stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's just the stuff of like the one of those TV shows, like Hoarders.
Hoarders.
And you think that's what it is, but it really is. I mean, it really is part of our culture in
it
a sense.
Is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all just want to have more things. Well, and then you run across, you have so much stuff, and then you look at other people's stuff and you're like, oh, they have better stuff than me. I want their stuff too. So
bicycles.
Hey now. I mean, that's true.
Yeah. So in this article, what I set out to do was to find a sort of random sampling of Lutheran individuals and families around the country who represented a number of different walks of life, but who had all taken a rather interesting approach to their relationship with their stuff. This was the one thing that they all had in common. So I talked to a deaf pastor and his wife, who are living in a fifth wheel RV so that they can go around leading ministry workshops. That was really cool. I talked to a widow who had lived with her husband for decades of marriage, and they had begun downsizing when they were on an 80-acre farm without buildings, and carried this journey through a house and a condo, and now she's in a mother-in-law apartment in her children's house. But she has gone through some really painful separations with things that meant a lot to her. I talked with a young couple, well, the Mrs. Half of the young couple up in Wisconsin, who are living with a family of five in his bachelor pad. And so rather than buy a bigger house, they've decided to use their money wisely and just clear out stuff so they can make room for their children as they come along. And then finally I talked to, and this was one of the first ideas for the story, an Air Force chaplain's wife who's getting ready to pack up the family to move again. So talking with all of these different people and asking them, how do you relate to the things in your life? What's meaningful? How do you keep it under control so that you can live the life that God intends you to live, rather than simply spend all your time taking care of and finding room for your stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe this is just a personal law condemning me. But it is a lot of self-reflection and looking at the things that you have and then feeling guilty about all the stuff that you have. But is there grace in this?
There is.
There was a very dramatic pause. Almost as if you really had to think about it.
No, this might be a deep question for the next 3
minutes. There is grace because in finding out that your stuff doesn't define you, that God defines you, you find freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That there's this bondage. All the things they can weigh down on you, and it is true. Stuff has meaning. My friend Anne, who was clearing out things, and I don't know if you know of this, but a source may not start out as a friend, but by the time the article runs, they're a friend. But she had this wonderful quote that I included in the article. She says, I tend to be fairly emotionally attached to my stuff. I grew up poor. I grew up in the dirt. You used your money carefully and you treasured the stuff that you had. Stuff has meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. You pick up something and you're flooded with memories of this loving relationship that you had with the person who's tied up in this object with you. And so it is hard to get rid of. And yet we know in the gospel that's not where we find our meaning. We find our meaning in Christ, mm-hmm. and he defines who we are, and he takes care of our memories, and he takes care of our relationships. We don't need, you know, a teapot to do that. We know that it's all bound up in his great love for us. So there you go. Grace, yes. Enough?
Yeah, I'll take it.
I just think of, you know, some of the mementos from, you know, from my grandparents, some of the things that that bring back such great memories. But you're right. We don't, those are just symbols, but they don't define the relationships we have with or had with those loved ones. You know, we try to attach so much to it, but it's nice because it does bring back memories, but it doesn't define who they were or what our relationship was with them.
Yeah.
But it is nice to have some of those things and stuck.
It is. But you know, it's surprising how little you need. Dasha Reinke, who's the wife of Pastor John Reinke doing deaf ministry, she said, I keep one of my dad's old ties and one of mom's old purses. They're traveling with us. So, you know, she's got her mementos, mm-hmm. but she also says she and Pastor Reinke had to make some hard decisions to do the ministry that was in front of them. And she said, we had to tell ourselves, if it's getting in the way of the gospel, it's got to go. you know, was a divested from a house into mm-hmm. an RV. And I was just really, really inspired by their story, by all of these stories. And the challenging but ultimately liberating choices that they've made.
Thinking about the family that moved into the RV, or the family of five that's living in a smaller home, trying to make it, we think sometimes it's a challenge to get, you know, the amount of furniture you need, or the housewares that you need. But sometimes the challenge in our culture is getting rid of the things mm-hmm. we don't need. That's sometimes more difficult than acquiring the things you do need.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Acquiring is easy. Getting rid of is hard. But there's also a trust issue involved.
Yes.
What if I get rid of this and I need it later? Can I get it back?
Yeah.
And the answer is, I don't know. Life is uncertain. And so that was, you know, you talk about the young family in the small house. Erica Weeding, one of the things that she said to me, she said, we don't make much money. We wanted to hold on to things and not to have to buy them again in the future. But, and here's this beautiful gospel statement. As we kept having more children, we realized God provides our daily bread and what we need. That really helped us be okay with letting go of the extra toaster.
So true. A friend who's been a guest on some of our programs shared her perspective on downsizing as well. And the same point, God provides what we need. Sometimes, you know, if they're planning a special occasion or a special trip or something like that, now with social media, just putting feelers out there, hey, we're going to need, you know, life jackets for this trip. How many of our friends have life jackets in these sizes? And they're able to get them instead of, you know, keeping everything in the attic, in the basement, in the garage, and keeping all these things that they don't need. God provides those things through the people around them as well.
He does. And that's, you know, that's a beautiful vision of how the church works.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That we take care of each other.
So Traveling Light, great article, very thought-provoking, somewhat convicting, but yes, there is grace.
Somewhat
For me too. Oh my goodness, my family had to live with me while I was putting this article together.
So how much did you purge while you were writing this article? Never mind.
Yeah, don't ask.
I'm just gonna let that one go. Oh man, we should have gotten the preview from Pastor Bomberger last week, 2 weeks ago.
That would have been fun.
We have more to share. We're going to take a look at another very touching story with Pastor Laist in just a moment. His article in the August issue as well. Again, go grab that copy if it's sitting in the mail bin or it's laying on the coffee table. Go pick it up and just read one of the articles today. And then I promise you, you'll want to read the rest of them as well. You're listening to Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.